worship the Lord this morning in prayer. Let's go again and just prepare our hearts. Heavenly Father, what an amazing blessing it is, Lord, to be together with the body of Christ, to worship you in spirit and truth, to praise you, glorify your name, Father, to recognize and acknowledge who you are as Almighty God, Creator of all things, our Savior, our Father, our Comforter. You are everything to us. Lord, I pray this morning that you would work in our hearts, that we would be receptive to your powerful word. You would make us a people of prayer. We continue this journey, learning about what prayer is about, and wanting, desiring to be a people of prayer, Father. I pray that you would do your mighty work in our hearts this morning and grow us in this area, this spiritual discipline we have. I pray this in Jesus' name. This morning we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6. If you have your Bible, if you don't have one, it should be one there in front of you. Open to Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 through 8. Last week we learned about standing strong in the power of prayer. Prayer, which is part of the spiritual armor that we have in Christ. Powerful spiritual armor that we use to fight the enemy, to stand strong against his attacks. In prayer, we have the energy and power to use the spiritual armor that God has blessed us with. That this continual communication we have with God reveals that we are truly dependent on Him to do what only He can do. That we need Him every single minute of every day. And the powerful impact of prayer by God's people has been seen all throughout history. It's been the spark of every revival, every awakening. And as we read through God's Word, God makes it very clear all throughout His Word that He desires that we be a people of prayer. A people who walk with Him, who talk with Him, who trust in Him, who are dependent on Him. I want us to continue praying toward this, that God would make us truly a people of prayer, a people known for prayer, that prayer would be a normal part of our daily lives, a priority in our discipleship, essential to our service and our ministry to others, and hopefully, the spark that ignites revival in each of our hearts. Today, we will continue learning about prayer and learning more about the heart behind our communication with God. Praying with the right motive. We will work through a very familiar passage. We sometimes call this the Lord's Prayer. But I would say that the Lord's Prayer truly lies in John 17, where Jesus, our high priest, is praying to the Father on behalf of the church. You see, one day Jesus was praying, and when he had finished, his disciples asked him, "Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray, Lord." And then Jesus gave them this prayer that we see here in Matthew 6. This prayer is clearly our prayer, the disciples' prayer. This is Jesus instructing us in how to pray and what to pray for, giving us guidelines for what our prayer should look like. But before he gets into the what we are to pray for, he starts with the how you pray. In other words, the heart behind our praying. His first instruction here is that we must pray to God with sincerity of heart. Let's look at verse 5. "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward." You know, for the child of God, prayer is one of the most important spiritual disciplines that we have. When we truly believe who Jesus is and what He did for us on the cross, when we truly believe that He died for us and rose from the grave, and then we acknowledge our sin before Him, We know we're sinners, and we turn away from that to God, asking these forgiveness, surrendering our lives to Him. At that moment, He forgives us of everything. He erased your debt of sin at that moment. And at that moment, He comes to live in you. You now have help to live in this life or through this life. And at that moment that He comes to live in you, now you are adopted as a child of God. And at that moment of your salvation, you gain full access to God, full access granted to God. Listen to God's word about the access that you have in Christ. In Hebrews chapter 10, 19-22, we see that it is the sacrifice of Jesus that made this access possible. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is, through His flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You see how the access was granted through the blood of Christ? Also in Ephesians 2:18, for through Him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. And then in Ephesians 3:12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in Him. And then again in Hebrews 4:16, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Do we sometimes forget about this extraordinary access? Or do we know about it? Do we sometimes take our access to the throne of God for granted? Do we spend time talking to everyone but God? Again, is this a problem with forgetfulness, or is this a problem with what we truly believe? Because if we truly believe that we have full access to the God who created all things, spoke, and it was created, who is all-powerful, all-knowing, everlasting, loving, gracious, caring, compassionate, patient, would we not want to talk to Him? If we truly believe that all things are possible with God as He tells us, would we not want to have a conversation with Him? Isn't it about what we truly believe? That's basically what prayer is, a conversation with God. You see, as God's child, you talk to your Heavenly Father. And you listen to Him through His Word, illuminated by the Holy Spirit that now indwells you. The only other more important spiritual discipline that you have as a follower of Christ would be that of reading and studying and meditating on God's Word. But even that, even taking in God's Word and talking to God go hand in hand. Communion and conversation with God are essential to your relationship with Christ. It's essential. Don't think that you're going to grow in spiritual maturity if you don't maintain these two spiritual disciplines. It's not going to happen. Don't think that you're going to have wisdom to make decisions in your life without communicating with God. Or that you're going to have more peace or more joy without building a relationship with God. It doesn't work that way. We would like to think it would work that way. We would like it to work that way. We'd like to live our lives and follow Christ based on our own terms. Those aren't God's terms. It doesn't work that way. Honestly, though, do we want what God wants? Do we really want that? Isn't that what truly comes down to? Do we want to be a people of prayer? Statistics reveal that a large percentage of those who profess to be a Christian spend very little time in prayer, maybe a sentence or two every so often, maybe specifically when they're in need of something. So the question that we ask them is what kind of relationship can we build with someone when we just occasionally talk at them and we don't spend time listening to them? It doesn't make for a very close or intimate relationship with anybody. Jesus has given us an example to follow. Following Jesus means that we must pray. He expects prayer to be a regular habit for those who follow. Look at what He says here. He says, when you pray. Which means it's an essential part of daily life. It's not if you pray. It's not that a duty, it's not a duty that must be accomplished. Jesus, as he does throughout this whole sermon on the Mount here, he gets to the heart of the matter. And the heart of the matter is a matter of heart. Jesus wants us to have right motives as we pray. He wants us to be sincere in our communication with God. You see, our prayer to God also reveals our love for God. What is the motive of your heart behind your praying to God? Think about that just for a moment. What is the motive of your heart when praying to God? He tells us here not to be like the hypocrites. Basically, Jesus is saying, hey, don't pretend to be someone you're not. Don't pretend to be someone you're not. He then explains how the hypocrites treat prayer. They were looking for the praise of people. And Jesus said, that's exactly what they're going to receive, the praise of people, he said. Their prayers were about what they wanted to say to the people, not what they wanted to say to God. The motive of their heart was to put on a show in order that the others may somehow believe that they're very religious or very spiritual. That their practice of prayer was directed toward man, not toward God. They wanted to impress the people with their long prayers and their eloquent speech. They wanted their own glory. This is in no way does this mean that it's wrong to pray together with the body of Christ, or to pray in public, or to pray for your meal when you go out to eat. See, the issue here is a matter of the heart. We shouldn't be praying in public if we're not praying in private. When do you pray for your food when dining out? Is it a truly thankful heart that you have toward God because he has provided this meal for you? I mean, is this a normal practice that you have, that you give thanks to God for your food, or is it just for show? It's a matter of the heart. Our prayer is to God and should reflect a genuine conversation between you and God. Even when we pray over others or on behalf of others, our prayers are always directed toward God. We do not pray in order to impress others, but to be heard by God. Praying with others in the body of Christ is something we're commanded to do. It's very, very important. What is the motive of your heart when you get ready to pray with others? Think about that for a minute. What's the motive of your heart when you get ready to pray for others? Are you terrified because you're not used to praying to God? Are you thinking about saying the perfect thing, sounding good in your speech? Or are you thinking about what you want to talk to God about? Do you pray longer prayers in public than you do in private? Do you pray differently in public than you do in private? See, the answer to these questions reveals the true motive of your heart concerning prayer to God. Jesus wants us to understand that there should be a true genuineness and sincerity of heart when we pray to our Heavenly Father. It's not about a show. It's not about what other people are thinking. It's about you speaking to your Heavenly Father. You're his child. He's your Father, the perfect Father, and you're speaking to him with a genuine sincerity of heart. That's what Jesus wants us to know here. But next, Jesus gives us instruction that we must pray to God in secret. Look at verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Again, Jesus is not condemning public prayer. We see it all throughout the Bible. What he is condemning here is prayer that becomes a formality or a ritual, a something done for show, prayer with the wrong motive of the heart. Again, Jesus said, when you pray, in other words, in your normal habit of constant prayer, constantly seeking the Lord, praying without ceasing, Jesus tells us to pray in private. See, not only are we warned not to treat prayer like the hypocrites do, we're also learned here that public and corporate prayer cannot be a substitute for your private individual prayer. Cannot be a substitute. Jesus instructs us, go to your room and shut the door and pray to your Father in secret. Some translations say closet. The word here means inner chamber. Basically a place that is quiet, without distraction. Quiet, without distraction. Where you can be alone with the Lord and focus on Him. Where He has your full attention. How easy it is for us to be distracted by other things when we pray. Could be a thought, could be a noise, could be a notification ringtone on your phone. And don't think this is new for our generation. With every generation, there have always been distractions to hinder us in our prayer. Every generation. Remember, there's a spiritual warfare we face. Do you think that Satan has a set of distractions in every culture with every people to hinder them from talking to God? That's what he wants. He doesn't want us to have communion with our Heavenly Father. He wants us to be distant from Him. He wants us to be distracted. He wants us to do our own thing and go our own way. He doesn't want us to commune with the Father. There have always been distractions, and we must overcome those distractions in order to have personal time with God. Jesus gives us a great example of this private time with the Father. Mark chapter 1, 35 says this. Listen to what he does. And rising early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. You see, Jesus had to deny his flesh just like the rest of us. He had to wake up early before everyone else, so that he could go. He went to great lengths so that he could go to be alone with God and pray. Something we have to go through as well in this busy, distracting culture that we live in. In Luke 5:16, it reveals his normal practice. It says this, he would withdraw to desolate places to pray. If Jesus knew how important it was to pray in secrecy to the Father, how much more important is it for us? It's why he gave us this example to follow. You know, we also might think, you know what? I can get my praying done while I'm driving down the road. Nothing wrong with saying prayer while driving. It's kind of like prayer walking, prayer driving. Things come to mind, you pray, right? There's nothing wrong with that. But there is absolutely no way for you to pray and not be distracted. Prayers while driving in no way should replace your secret, private prayer time with the Lord. Times without distraction. Times to be alone with God where there's no one else. It's this private conversation between you and God. Praying is a conversation between you and God, which means that you do some talking, but we also do some listening. We listen and meditate on God's Word, what it says. We allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us through His Word and give us direction, give us wisdom, give us conviction of sin in our lives, new insight, a right perspective. So it's not just about talking. It's about listening. It's about meditating on what God wants to say to you. That's how this works. It's a true, genuine relationship between you and the God who created you. Think about how annoying it can be when someone interrupts you when you're having a conversation with someone else. We've all experienced that. How many times have you told your children, if you're a parent, you said, you know, not now, son. Don't interrupt. You need to wait until I finish talking. Now, why don't we do the same when we're talking with God? Why do we allow ourselves to be interrupted when talking to our Father, the Creator of all things? Jesus is giving us some important advice to help out with that. He says, go into your closet and shut the door. Meaning, set aside a time and a place to be alone with the Lord, in private, in secrecy, without distraction. It will totally change your relationship with God. For that matter, it will totally change your life. I can guarantee you that. It will totally change your mind. Not my guarantee, God's guarantee. You draw near to Him, He draws near to you. And He will open up your eyes to see things you never ever seen. You will experience things within yourself and your inner person that you've never experienced. And you think you have joy today, that joy will grow deeper. You think you have peace right now, that peace will be so overwhelming that it doesn't matter what you face. You're able to walk through it with peace and joy. It will change your life. Jesus is trying to help us understand that who we are in private is who we truly are. Who are you when only God is watching and listening? You see, the right motive in prayer is a heart that is concerned with what our Heavenly Father thinks, not what other human beings think. God, who sees all and knows your heart, the true motive there will respond to you and reward your faithful, heartfelt, secret prayers. That's what he says here. He will reward you for that. But not only do we pray with sincerity of heart, not only do we pray in secret, we must also pray to God clearly and simply. Let's look at verse 7 and 8. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Prayer is not about memorized phrases that we repeat every time we pray. Jesus says, this is what the Gentiles do. It's what's happening in the religions and cults, even of Jesus' day, as well as our day. It's similar to what we see in the difference between how Elijah prayed and the false prophets in 1 Kings 18 prayed. Totally different. I've seen this so many times in Islam and Hinduism and Buddhism and other false religions and cults. They recite memorized prayers over and over again. Some pray babbling words and sounds that can't even be understood. And they have no meaning to those who pray, and it's just a religious practice, a ritual that they go through. Actually, some pray even in a language they don't even understand themselves. This can also refer to the chanting of magical incantations of the pagan cults of our day, such as witchcraft, which is growing, even in our community here. The sad thing is that this can happen in the church as well. And Jesus was warning his followers about this 2,000 years ago. You see, our prayers are prayed to our Heavenly Father, who knows our thoughts and our needs and desires to answer us. He cares about each one of you. He cares about each of us. Prayer is not about trying to sound spiritual before God or anyone else. We're not praying to impress him with our fancy educational words. We don't need to put on a show for him. God cannot be manipulated by our silly, empty repetitions or the loudness of our prayers. He cannot be manipulated that way. Prayer should be from the heart. It should be a genuine conversation with God. And so as we talk with God, we should clearly share what's on our hearts. Clearly, lay it all out before God. Just be clear about it. Don't try to hide anything. Just clearly lay it all out before Him. Be open and clear about what's going on in your life. As we share, we should keep it simple. There's no need to use fancy words to explain things to God. Just simply share your concerns with Him and talk to Him. Talk to Him about what you're facing. Humbly seek Him and talk to Him as a child talks to their parent. Just clearly and simply lay these things out before God. Our heart's motive should be a sincere desire to seek Him, to do His will. Remember, out of the heart, but the mouth speaks. And if the motive of the heart is not right, we may try to overcompensate with repetitions, special sayings, and words we don't normally use, trying to somehow make up for our sin. Someone once told me that we all have a routine prayer in our system. And once we get rid of it, we can really start praying. You see, there's also this danger of not having reverence toward God in our prayers. When we treat God like He's just another person, calling Him things like the man upstairs, or not really thinking clearly about what we want to say, we're just running our mouths. Not really really thinking clearly, not really thinking simply, just kind of running our mouth about what we want to talk about. Or we try to put on a show as if we human beings can impress God with our knowledge. This reveals a lack of reverence toward God. Jesus was devoted to prayer. And his prayers were not memorized sayings that he recited over and over. And we see his prayers. They were personal. They were genuine. Sometimes they were even spontaneous. His prayer life was an expression of his deep communion with the Father. Prayer is an expression of our communion. Prayer should help us experience a greater intimacy, a deep, deep sense of connection with our Heavenly Father. Our prayer life reveals the true nature of our communion with God. That we won't feel comfortable talking to God anywhere or around anybody if he's like a stranger to us. If we don't normally talk to him. If we don't normally commune with him and listen to him. If we don't know what he says because we don't know his word. We must find a place without distraction and be alone with God. We must pray in secrecy with sincerity of heart, clearly sharing our heart with him. Speaking in a simple way. In a way that we understand. In a way that is simple and not for show. Because your Father, who sees you in secret, he will reward you. Our Heavenly Father is omnipresent, he's omnipotent, he's omniscient. He not only knows what you need before you ask him, he's attentive to your needs. He cares deeply, deeply about you. And he wants what's best for you. He loves you with a perfect heavenly love. Like no one else. He's always listening, he's always ready, he's always willing and able to help you by extending grace and power and provision. And even though he knows what you're going to say before you ask, even though he knows, he wants to see your faith in action. He wants to see your faith in action as you ask him and trust in him to do in your life what no one else can do, not even yourself. He wants to see that in you. He wants to see his child come to him and be dependent. And say, there's no one like my Father. There's no one who can do what my God can do. I trust in him for everything. I trust in him alone. Nothing comes before him. I come to you, Daddy, and I share all this with you because you're the one who truly cares and who can truly do in my life what no one else can do. That's what he wants for you as his child. To come before him. To share. To trust him. He wants time alone with you. He wants to hear from you. He wants to speak into your life as you listen to him, as you study his word. He wants to speak to you. If you're thinking, man, I wish I had wisdom. I wish I knew what to do in that situation, in this experience, and that conflict. He's there. He wants to give that to you. We sometimes think that we can just do it on our own strength, and we can gain wisdom from the world around us or our past experiences. No. Your Heavenly Father cares deeply about you. He's waiting for you to come to him with the right motive of heart, coming before God, being alone with him, and listening to you. As the worship team comes, what is the motive of your heart before God in prayer? Are you willing to listen and follow Jesus' instruction here for prayer? Are we willing to make the necessary changes in our lives, in our schedules, in our time, so that God can make us a people characterized by prayer? I believe God wants to do mighty things in us and through us. You see that even on this trip to Southwest Virginia. It's probably seen in every one of your lives, wherever you work, wherever you live, around your neighbors, around your family. God wants to do mighty things in us and through us. He's placed you where you are for a reason. He wants to bring about revival in us. But it won't happen until we humbly acknowledge our need for him, until we show our dependence on him through prayer. Let God have his way in you this morning. Seek him in prayer. Watch him work mightily in your life. Set that time. Change your priorities. Do whatever necessary. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is sharing with you this morning. Listen to how He's leading you this morning. And respond to your Father. He desperately wants you to come to Him. To come and be in His arms of love and grace and mercy and compassion and patience and comfort. God wants your heart. That's what He wants. Respond to Him this morning.